You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Monday, so it's time for Shapiro World with David Shapiro, sometimes from Johannesburg, always from Sasin Securities, but currently in New York, probably looking out over Central Park at this very moment, having had a bagel and a run and a glass of orange juice or something. David, how is New York? I'm setting the scene there. How is New York at the moment?
I must tell you, you're not far off because I did run this morning. It's been raining a couple of days, but you still go out with your jacket. But I came back this morning, and I have to tell you something.
Please do.
I love Central Park. I mean, it's a beautiful area. You can find your own space to run. You don't have to run kind of in circles. I mean, there's so many different paths and areas. But there's one thing. If ever you find me arrested, you know, if you watch CNN or something and you see a South African arrested in Central Park, it's there's a reason, because when I, on my home stretch, I come down past the Dakota, you know, in the park, but the Dakota is a building on 72nd. That's where John Lennon lived. It's a very famous building, and a lot of well-known celebrities, I think, still live there. And he was shot, you know, outside the Dakota.
Yes.
Now, that's right. So across the road, Yoko sponsored a garden called Strawberry Fields, which is a little memorial to John Lennon. You know, they don't, they only allow you to put a little plaque down, and she maintains the garden around it. But it has become a kind of shrine. But the only thing that really bugs me,
yeah,
and this is it, is that you get these buskers coming, you know, the wannabes. And they all believe that they've got to kind of evoke his spirit by playing Beatles songs. And I just want to go and punch them in the nose and say, just leave it alone. Just, it's a shrine. Be quiet. You know, let people reflect, those who knew John Lennon. I wasn't particularly favored, but I loved the Beatles. I'll say, why do you have to take out your guitar, open it up so you can collect a few coins, you know, playing Beatle records? Go away, you know, just.
Well, there's a couple of things I will observe now. Is number one, I can't stand buskers. I can't stand and people, because they look at you so mournfully, and it's almost as though, you know, because you've got a guitar, you've got a hat in front of you that you're supposed to put coins in, that you're immediately a good cause. And secondly, this is a side to David Shapiro I've never seen. I mean, you were a sort of compassionate man. You want to punch people on the nose because they're playing music. I'll just walk away. You want to punch them.
No, I just say leave it. It's a shrine. You know, when I say it's a memorial,
yes,
go past there, remember him, remember for, you know, feel sad about his early loss, whatever it is, but don't play Beatles songs. You know, you are not the Beatles. And anyway,
okay.
That's the only thing that infuriated me. It infuriates me more than the bike lanes, you know, all these people who deliver, because they've created these bike lanes, which you can't see. They're on the side of the road, Lindsay. So in the avenues, they've got these green bike lanes, which are now.
What is that? What, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Green bike lanes. What are you talking about?
Well, they painted,
bike lanes.
They painted
bike lanes.
The road,
oh, I see. Yes.
Bicycle.
Oh, bike lanes. And, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's okay.
And it's just off the pavement or sidewalk, as they call it.
Mm.
And now what they've done is then they park. They've created the parking a little bit in, so you're parking kind of just off the pavement, you know, with a bike lane there. So you, when you're crossing a road, you can't see who's riding up these bike lanes, because these, the bikers here, and it's not only the chaps delivering your pizza or delivering something, you know, the Uber drivers or whatever it is, because they're all on electric bikes, which go at huge speeds.
But and you can't hear them either. That's the other thing.
You can't hear them. And then they've also got these city bikes, you know, the rent ones that you kind of rent if you want to go downtown, and then you put it back in its little lot. And so a lot of the chaps are in their suits or dressed up going to work, you know, renting. But no one observes any traffic laws or rules. Nothing.
Sounds like South Africa.
They make the taxi drivers look like they're riding tricycles in a kindergarten park or something like this. They are insane. Those are the most dangerous things in New York at the moment.
The yellow caps or the bikes?
No. The chaps on the bicycles.
Okay.
You know, these fellas going there. So that's after the John Lennon buskers. These are the second chaps on my list, you know.
Okay, well, we'll note that down. We'll get them. So if I do see you arrested, David, and there's a mugshot of you, you know, turning to the left, turning to the right, I'll say, that's Shapiro. That's my Monday interview cancelled. Actually, it's funny you talk about that, because this is a bike society where I live, in the Netherlands, of course, and you drive with, unlike in South Africa, you drive on a different side.
Yeah.
So, for example, you're driving on the left-hand side in the car, and because there are so many bicycles, you're told when you do your test not to open the door with your left hand, because you're not looking, you see. So what you have to do, and during your test, not that I've had one, but you have to use your right hand to open the door, because that makes you look to what's coming, looking backwards, and you open it on that. So it sort of helps to not knock the bicycle off that is just coming up behind you. But anyway, we're digressing. China, David, tell me about China.
Well, it certainly changed markets last week.
Mm.
And there's, we're still not quite sure how far this is going to go, but Lindsay, what impressed me, and this is the important point, and I think the same thing with lowering interest rates in America and South Africa and so on, is that the market responded quite vigorously, and that's an important point. You know, it wasn't muted; it didn't just brush it aside and say, "Oh, nothing's going to come of it," or we were expecting it. The markets responded to this news. So, you saw luxury goods turnaround. You saw everything associated with China, including commodities, make big turnarounds. And that, I like that. You know, it impressed me. It means that investors are looking for something like that and will respond to it. So I know they call it the three arrows that they shot. You know, they lowered the reserve requirement. What else did they do? They lowered their repo rate.
They cut, they cut mortgage rates by 0.5%, yes, I think, as well. Yes, in order to try and boost that horribly bloated property sector. So that is a good thing. And I'm just looking here now. It says China stocks have had their best day in 16 years, or their best week in 16 years.
Yeah.
And
they put a lot of money into the market as well, and liquidity, allowing companies to borrow to buy back shares and to even buy shares. So they created liquidity that you can push up the market. So I think it's a matter of watching it from now on. You know, will they continue? Will Xi continue in this, and will whoever is irresponsible continue to take advantage? The markets are back a little today. I'm not quite sure why. We've seen commodities come back, whether there's profit taking after the September year, whether I think everybody closed their books probably on Thursday.
Yes.
On Friday. So I'm not quite sure why markets have fallen. I'm looking mainly at the JSE, because commodities, the Amplats and a lot of the gold shares and miners are down quite significantly. So I don't know whether it's fear of more economic data coming out this week, jobs data and all the other things that they watch, or whether it's just a response to what was perhaps a very overbought and exuberant market. I haven't quite found reasons why. We haven't opened yet. The U.S. is about to open in a few minutes.
Yes.
But I think just looking at the JSE, it's down across the board. The rand has weakened a bit, I think, which has propped up Billiton and Anglos and some of the heavyweights that are listed abroad. But, platinum shares and gold shares here are down, including, Cecil seems to be steady. So I think we're red right across the board, after having had a very good week. But I'm really not quite sure. I haven't heard any news that is, serious or
I think
or
it's quarter, it's month and quarter end stuff, David. People, rejigging their portfolios, etc.
Yeah.
And also, people don't really believe China all the time. I mean, I'm looking at the key points of the China news over the last day. Chinese President Xi said today that no challenges can stop the country from moving forward. That sounds like a dictator to me. You don't say that.
Yes.
He would normally, someone would say, look, we have got challenges ahead, but on the other hand, we're going to face face them, but you must be cautious. I mean, that's what Keir Starmer would say, for example. Yeah. But I don't like him, but that's what he would say, or any Western leader would say. He also reiterated Beijing's aims for reunification with Taiwan, as he calls it. In other words, taking it back forcefully. Exactly. Yeah. And he's speaking at a reception commemorating the 75th anniversary of the People's Republic of China, which was founded on October the 1st, 1949. I didn't actually know that.
I didn't know that. I know that it was in the late 40s, but I didn't know October. Yeah. 75 years. Okay. So that 75th is time for celebration.
That's a big thing. Yeah, that must be a massive celebration there. So that's all good. But it's going to take more than a 0.5% cut in the mortgage rate to get those ghost towns in China filled with people in those ghastly apartment blocks.
I know. They've got to keep doing it. You know, there's got to be more coming. And anyway, look, I think the fact that Marcus did respond, that was one step forward. But as you say, it's got to build on this. So, but overall, I think, you know, markets are positioned in the right direction, you know, with rate cuts coming down. There are more calls now for people, you know, for cutting rates rather than leaving them where they are, or, you know, worries about inflation. Inflation just seems to be brushed aside. You know, we're now looking at growth, and we're now looking at the other markets, the employment market. I must say one thing, that again, coming back to New York, again, you've got to look at New York as, you know, as not being part of America, but it does give you an idea of, you know, of a vibrant economy. And what I've seen with New York this time, because I come here often, I come here twice a year, go up to Boston to visit my daughter, my grandchildren. And, the post-COVID era worried me a bit, because a lot of shops were closing down, largely because of a change in dynamics. You know, e-commerce is huge. And anybody who's in a working environment, you know, you're on your way to work, you place your orders and they deliver it, you know, virtually the next day. In fact, the people in our building here, you know, the concierge and all the other people who work, you know, who run the building, they have now systems. That's how many parcels come in. You know, they don't find, oh, Lindsay, your lunch is here. Forget about it. You know, what they do is they now email you or send you a voice message, and that's how many parcels come in. Huh. You know, and it's not a big building relative to New York. So if you haven't got a system, you know, to capture what comes in now, you're going to be just overwhelmed and swamped. And every morning when the Amazon trucks arrive around here, you cannot believe how they piled up. And this is one building in a massive, massive New York. So,
they deliver 24 hours a day, because I know when I was in London, I was staying with a friend, and so I spoke about the company. What's it called? Gosh, I can't remember the name of it now. The grocery delivery company. And I would look out outside the window, and it was during COVID times, and there was always one or two vans at about 11 o'clock at night going up and down delivering groceries. Is it the same in New York? They're doing it not 24 hours a day, but they're working late at night.
Oh yeah. So you can place
Ocado.
I can place an order. Mm. Okay. Mm. Well, I can place an order here at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. I don't know where the cutoff is. Say 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And say, you know, milk, cheese, whatever, lettuce, you know, salads, whatever it is, anything that you would go into a kind of a grocery store. So next morning, knock on the door, there it is. You know, it's, you have no idea. I always marvel when I see the trucks arrive, and I've asked them to explain how they kind of, demarcate, you know, areas, and they park their trucks here. These are huge Pentecnicons, and out come a lot of chaps. And this is the point, Lindsay. These are all immigrants. These are not, what do you call it, blonde, built.
They're not native New Yorkers, in other words. Yeah, I mean, if there is such a thing.
There's no wasps among these things. These are all chaps from the Dominican Republic, you know, from wherever, Haiti, you name it. You know,
the people that are eating cats and dogs, according to Donald Trump. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a thing. But this is interesting.
You wouldn't survive without them. You wouldn't survive. Every person behind a counter in New York is a foreigner. You know, has come from some other country. Mm. And these are the people who work the late hours, you know, who pack the shelves, who make your pizzas and do it. It's that's why I'm saying this country would not function without these people.
Well, we spoke with Viv last week, as we always do, and it's always really good fun. It's the highlight of my podcasting week, because you two, you know, take over and I learn a lot from it. But I said, sort of in a, not an insulting way, but in a way that said, well, David, you don't know anything about America because you only go to Boston and New York. But when I look at New York, and after what you've just said, it's so cosmopolitan that it is America, it is Hispanic, it is brown, it is black, and it is East European. In fact, it's probably more America than Kentucky or Mississippi or Alabama is. I've suddenly realized that.
I think it's a very good point, because you suddenly realize that, and listen, it's a major contributor to, you know, to the American economy, New York, Boston, all those East Coast, West Coasts. I mean, they are massive economies in their own right. And you do get an indication of what's happening, you know, of how the dynamics are changing here, how the demographics are changing in this country. And for me, it's wonderful to observe. But I think the point, you know, I'm having to replace my kitchen cabinets now because – you know, they just something happened. They fell off.
What do you mean they fell off?
They broke and everything. Yeah. anyway, that's another exercise. But the chap, and we've been dealing with him for now over 10, 12 years. Yeah. All the workmen all come from Eastern Europe,
yes.
Macedonia, Slovakia, whatever you name it. All of them. You know, the painters, the carpenters, the tilers, whatever it is. And that's America.
Don't making I mean? Themselves all, an honest living by working hard, which is what America was built on.
I know. And so the point is, you cannot keep the immigrants from coming. Yes, you can control them, but these are all very, very skilled people. And you need the unskilled people as well. The chaps who tar the roads, you know, who do all of those, who ride those electric bikes at 2 o'clock in the morning, delivering your bagel and cream cheese or whatever you've ordered, you know. Yeah. So no one else is going to do it in the freezing cold or rain. You know, only they would do it. So it is a reflection.
Mm. I had a reassessment of my thoughts about America being not New York. It is actually New York. And, you know, America is New. Is New York in a nutshell, or the other way around, rather. David, what else was I going to say to you? So here we are. We're coming up to the end of the third quarter, into the final quarter of the year. Markets have done very, very well over the year. In fact, the JSE, I think, even in dollar terms, has outperformed the S&P 500, hasn't it? Or was that Wayne McCurry just being fanciful with me?
It might have. I think, you know, I've got to do the conversions, because I think the rand has picked up from wherever it was, you know, 18 to 17, and that's really dollar weakness more so than rand strength.
Yes, but it's done well, hasn't it? It has done well. It was below 80,000 at one stage, and what is it now? Yeah. It's like 86, 87,000 or something. I don't know.
It's 86,801.
There you go.
86,797, as we talk.
Yes. So it's 87,000, let's call it. Mm. And at one stage, it was mired below 80,000, and now it's doing incredibly well. I don't know who's benefiting from it, if it's foreigners or the local fund managers or something. They must be having a little bit of a bonanza at the moment, given the figures that we've just spoken of. But the rest of the year is clouded by one thing. China's one is an issue, obviously, but the market seems to shrug that off, and we'll see how the 0.5% cut and other stimulatory measures are going to take hold, if they do. But the other thing is this election, which is starting to become a bit sinister. I don't know if you saw Trump over the weekend. He had two rallies, and he said the same thing at two rallies. Have you seen that at all, or are you bored with it? Because I don't get bored with it. I don't go running in Central Park.
No, I watch it all the time. I don't know what he said at the rallies.
He said the following. I said, and this is a précis, of course. He said, "Sleepy Joe Biden is mentally impaired, and it's really sad, and we all saw it happening." He said, "But Kamala Harris, as he calls her, Kamala Harris. She has been mentally impaired since birth. She was born mentally impaired. I mean, one of the most ridiculous, racist slur that you could ever say. He said she was mentally impaired from birth. And I think of the strategists. They must sit there and say, we told him to talk about inflation and energy and foreign policy, and he's talking about his rival being a nutter. What is that, David? It disturbs me.
It is very disturbing. The problem is that you've got the red states and the blue states, and, you know, you've got those in between. And it's all about those six or seven in-between states, you know, which is Michigan and Pennsylvania and those. My biggest concern and my big worry is that this is a man, he's a divisive, repugnant person. And what I can't understand is how Americans can vote for a man like that who says those kind of things.
Exactly.
I don't mind.
He preys on fears and hate. Yeah. I mean, that's his platform, fear and hate. And I can't understand that.
With great respect, like the British, you would never have a Rishi Sunak saying that about Keir Starmer.
No.
You would never hear him say he's mentally,
impaired.
He's impaired, whatever. They don't do it. You wouldn't hear that in Europe. People don't do it. And I think the biggest fear that people have got, you know, that the world has got, is that this madman could get into power simply because of those disaffected states or people who feel that they've been left behind, you know, for whatever reason. I mean, the man is mentally impaired.
He's unhinged. He's completely unhinged.
He is unhinged. And it's just such a tragedy that, and I think this is why I think people here are praying that he doesn't get in. You know, just there's a New York is not a state, is not a that's Democrat, whatever it is. So they get all those votes and so on. But it's those marginal states where the worries are. And, you know, it's not Lindsay Williams that they're targeting. It's just some cleaner down the road that they're preying on. You know, who doesn't listen to the debates or anything like that. But for him to say what he says is just so revolting. And I can't understand Fox. I can't understand other news services who don't bring this up, you know, who are totally, what's the word? Not ignorant. They
partisan.
Just ignore.
They're partisan towards the totally. Republican Party and Trump.
I have never in history come across any campaign where this is said about the opposition. That's my views there. Those people who don't like Kamala, you know, who are against her, who feel that maybe she hasn't got the skills, but it's a far better option. I think the women, you know, generally the women will vote for Kamala. By a vast margin.
It's their duty. In fact, it's everyone's duty to not vote for Trump. Okay, God. So she may not be the best candidate. You may not have chosen her, but she is streets ahead of Trump. He's nearly 80, for goodness sake. And it's not just that. He's just an awful, awful human being. What has he ever done in his life? He's taken a fortune that he was given, and he's made it into a small fortune. If you have a look at the list of businesses that he's ruined over the years, from the Trump University to Trump Steaks to Trump Water to the Trump Airline, and there's about 12 businesses he's ruined, including three or four casinos, which is, you have to be a real talent to bankrupt a casino. You really do. He's selling watches now, David. He's selling Bibles, $59.99, signed by him, and say, God bless America. But he's selling watches now. And the premium range is $100,000. And it's the gaudiest, cheapest piece of rubbish you've ever seen in your life. Go to trumpwatches.com. It's scary.
It's too terrible. Anyway, listen, it does reflect, you know, it's probably one of the downsides of democracy that, you know, that a person like him can get in.
Yeah, I've never liked democracy.
The S&P is up 20% this year.
Okay.
And the JSE probably 14. So there's a margin there. But that margin, if we reduce it to dollars, which I can't do at the moment, you might find that I'm going to try and do it. You might find that the JSE just, yes, 21% in dollars.
There we go.
And versus 20%. So, yes, you're right. It has outperformed by a margin.
Very good. Well, yeah. Congratulations. This is a little bit of good news. David, you can't watch football in America because you can't work it out.
I have been watching. No, I've been watching select matches. I watched Manchester United, and I think that,
that was fun.
As an Arsenal supporter, I have felt that for many seasons. And I just see this team not knowing which side of the field they're playing on. I don't know. I don't even know they know where to point themselves.
I love watching them now because they are always so shambolic. It's really – and Ten Hag.
It's sad.
He always comes up with something. He said, we had our chances. We could have won that game. I said, what are you talking about? You lost 3-0.
No.
What's wrong with you? He must move on, seriously. Arsenal were looking a little bit shaky after Leicester equalised in the 63rd minute.
Well, they didn't expect that, you know, and I think, you know, that's what happens in football. It bounces off someone's shoulder into the goal. And I must say, Leicester's second goal was superb.
Yes.
It was an absolute superb strike, you know. You're never going to stop that. And they tried and tried, and, eventually they won. But, I mean, thank goodness, I was watching as it's on the internet, not when I say internet, you know, just commentary.
Yeah.
And, thank goodness I didn't watch it. I must say congratulations to Ipswich.
Thank you very much.
Coming right. They are coming right.
I think so too.
Mm. I think they were ahead. I think that Aston Villa were very rattled. And if anything, it looked like Ipswich were going to take the points. It looked very close. I think that, and you know, they missed some very good saves by Martinez, but looking okay, and they played with heart.
Yeah, they really did. It's a lovely little club. It made my heart burst with pride after that match, even though they didn't win. But anyway, David, what do you do now in the evening? You go to the Lincoln Center and take the wife out for dinner or what? What do you do?
you learn in America, you see. You learn to go down to Whole Foods and you buy cold meats or fish or something like this and you eat at home. Because when you sit down at a restaurant, you've got no idea what it costs. But I actually prefer it to in the sense of choosing what I eat and that. But we, you know, the one thing about America, on Friday evening, we were walking around Lincoln Center.
Yeah.
And it's quite a remarkable country. You know, I looked at everybody was dressed up for the opera. There's an opera called Grounded, which is a Tony, won certain Tony Awards. I'm not an opera favorite, but I went there and you just see what's available to anybody, you know, whether it's ballet, whether it's opera, whether it's theater. Yes. It's just the choice is remarkable. Absolutely. And the point I wanted to make, Lindsay, as well, when we were talking about New York coming back, Broadway's back. What I mean is that...
Oh, you went to see that Fleetwood Mac thing, didn't you? It's what you told us.
Yeah, I went to see.
Yeah,
called Stereophonic.
Yes.
It was a matinee, and the matinee is where you get all the old people like me. It was packed.
You're such a cheapskate.
Because they can't stay up late. Yeah. No, it's not cheap. It's just that all the elderly, you know, because New York is made up of many, many people of my age. They're either bird watching or helping in the garden in Central Park.
Busking.
But the city's available to them. You know, it gives them a life. And I went to see Stereophonic Wednesday, 1 o'clock, and the theater was absolutely packed.
Wonderful.
And the tickets are not cheap.
$120, you know what
I mean? Right? Well, I got them on the cheap, you know, because you go down to
tickets,
but the tickets go $200.
Yeah.
Most people booked, you know, that's for a matinee, and most all. So generally, but what I'm saying is that theater's back, the shows are packed, thousands of tourists around you, thousands. I mean, you know, you got to bump them out the way. You know, you can't because they all meander in the roads looking at their phones, you know, trying to find out where they are. And you can't be polite. You just got to shove them out the way. Yeah.
Do you know what, David? I just want to say one thing before I let you go because I've kept you too long.
No.
You sound very different in New York than you do in Johannesburg. Mm. You've got a spring in your step.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that the case?
Yes, it's true. You know why? There's safety here. Mm. And I don't think you understand what safety means. I think people misunderstand it. You know, where you can just walk out here and not having a fear of somebody coming to accost you. You know, you haven't got the beggars on the side of the road. Yes, they're homeless people. I mean, this is a 10 million, I don't know how many. You're going to find it in every city. But the city is spotless. Central Park is spotless. And people just get on with their lives. Yes, it's a hectic pace. Make no error. But there's a certain peace of mind that you have here, which you can't find in South Africa, you know. And it's whether you're driving on the roads, you know, whether you're walking into shops, whether you're sitting down. You know, South Africans tend to hold their bags and keep it close to them. And
metaphorically or even literally looking over their shoulder the whole time.
Mm. Yeah.
I know the feeling moving from South Africa back to Europe. It's extraordinary how it lightens the load. Anyway.
Yeah. And there are stories about crime in New York are absolute rubbish. You know, it's absolute nonsense.
Well, in the 70s, of course, it was a no-go zone. But now it's been cleaned up and it's fantastic.
There was this concert that I mentioned on Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening, you know, where I must tell you, Dojo Cat, she was wearing
You've told me that on Thursday with Viv, and I don't know what Dojo Cat is.
Yeah, she was wearing the stringy dress. Well, her dad was Dumisani Dlamini. Her name is Dlamini, even though she's never seen her dad. Yeah. Her mom is a white lady. Her dad was an actor. Mm. But she's a massive star, massive. Mm. And she was wearing a dress, even though she'd never been to South Africa. She had this like bead dress, you know, which was, when I say beads, you know, this is like very flimsy, you know, that, how can I explain? You can get pictures of it. But it was a South African flag, you know, it was obviously made by people here who came from South Africa. But she was great. And there was Post Malone. There was Ed Sheeran, Chris Martin from Coldplay, and a couple of other stars as well, which was, but no trouble. No trouble, huge police presence. You know, it was across the road from where we stayed here. So you look there, there was no, you know, no noise. Next morning, the whole thing is cleaned up. Everybody goes their own way. And I think that's the difference. You know,
I saw a documentary about Central Park and what they do in order to keep it as clean as you've just described. And it is a hell of an operation. But they do it, you know. They don't just, like in the 70s when New York was bankrupt, just let it go to the dogs and encourage crime and everything. No, it is wonderful. And as I say, I can hear it in your voice. Anyway, I've kept you too long, David.
Okay.
I will try to speak to you with Viv on Thursday, but if not next Monday. What Jewish holidays have you got coming up, or have they passed? No,
it's Rosh Hashanah, which is on Thursday, Friday.
Oh, okay. So you won't be speaking on Thursday. Okay.
Well, I'll be in Boston. Mm. I will be in Boston on next Monday. So, no.
All right, we'll speak then. Jolly good. Have a lovely week, and we'll speak soon. That's David Shapiro from Sasser & Security speaking to us from New York. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.